Grace and peace from God our Father and Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. I've heard it said before that the Bible can be confusing and unclear in its testimony, that we can never truly know for certain what it says, except for maybe the basic message of salvation. The evidence for this seems fitting enough. You just look around and you see dozens of Christian denominations within the United States alone, six of them represented in Humboldt. But the Bible is none other than the very testimony of Jesus Christ our Lord, and our lives hang on its very message. So let me ask you this. Would the Father send his Son to suffer and die a bitter death on the cross so that we may live, only to obscure this message and conceal it with obscure words? Or is Christ powerful enough to destroy and defeat our sin by his very death on the cross, but not powerful enough to break through our sin so that we may know his word without a doubt? God is a God of communication. He speaks plainly to us in his word so that we may know and understand and grasp with our heart and even pass it on and teach others. It is because of this that the Bible and other materials, such as the Small Catechism, have been translated into the most obscure languages on earth. Nowhere do we see this more clearly than on the day of Pentecost. This is the ongoing work of Christ to which Luke alludes to in his introduction. He says, "In the first book, O Theophilus, I have dealt with all that Jesus began to do and teach." The work of Christ now continues through the work of the church. And that work would require the ability to communicate Christ to the world in a manner that is clear and direct. 40 days after his resurrection, Jesus told the 11 disciples that they would become his witnesses to the end of the earth once they had received the power of the Holy Spirit. Until that time, however, they were to remain in Jerusalem. And after Jesus ascended, the 11 and the other disciples, about 120 in all, the first Christian congregation, gathered in Jerusalem to devote themselves to the apostles' teaching, to prayer, and to worship. 10 days after Christ's ascension, 50 days after his resurrection, a special manifestation of the Holy Spirit was poured out upon them. A sudden sound like a mighty rushing wind filled the entire house where they were, and divided tongues as a fire appeared and rested on each of them. The commotion drew the people filling Jerusalem to that place. The disciples began praising God and in loud voices. Miraculously, everyone in the crowd heard them speak in their own native language. They were hearing about what God had done through Christ, perhaps for the very first time, and they were understanding it perfectly. It's important to make clear that the tongues or languages that the Holy Spirit empowered the disciples to speak on Pentecost were existing human languages, not some spirit language that is not understood by human ears. God is not a God of confusion. He does not want to create chaos. In fact, now that sin has been undone in Christ, God is undoing that curse of Babylon. He is delivering and communicating that life-saving message of Christ clearly to every single person, no matter their language. The Spirit never aims to wow us or draw attention to himself, but the work of the Holy Spirit, both on that Pentecost day and every day since, is to enlighten our faith and point us to Christ. Why is this important? Because faith comes by hearing the word of God. And the church is the people of God, the believers of Jesus Christ. But believers do not just spontaneously happen. They are born. They are born again by the Spirit through the Word. When they are brought into God's family, they are washed and fed by this very same Word. They do not exist apart from the Word of God. And if people are not receiving the Word of who Jesus is and what He has done for them, then they cannot believe it. So while the church is the people of God, it is clearly marked by those means of the Spirit, Christ's own Word and sacrament. Without these, the church does not exist. And so we see this at Pentecost. The crowd gathers because of the miracles that were taking place, but the miracles do not bring them to faith. Instead, it leaves them wondering. It leaves them perplexed, asking, "What does this mean?" They only come to faith when the Spirit works through the Word of God that Peter proclaimed. "Let this be known to you," Peter says, "and give ear to my words." This is what was uttered by the prophet Joel, "And in the last days it shall be," God declares, "that I will pour out my Spirit on all flesh." Peter starts with the Word of God established by the Old Testament prophets, and he applies it to what Christ has done. Unfortunately, today we do not get to hear the rest of Peter's sermon or how they responded to it. But he preached clearly God's law and gospel. He preached it to them directly so that they understood. And when they finally heard and understood that God the Father had given His Son to die, and that they, because of their sin, bore the responsibility for His death, their consciences were deeply cut. They asked Peter what they were to do, and Peter told them that what they needed to do was to be washed in and receive that very Word, the promise of Christ. And they would, in that Word, receive the forgiveness for their sins and the gift of the Holy Spirit. We are told that 3,000 were baptized that very day. From 120 to over 3,000 in just one day, with just one move of the Holy Spirit, clearly and distinctly pointing to the crucified and risen and ascended Christ. Meanwhile, in our own day, we are told that this testimony is confusing and unclear. We are told that we must not be so narrow-minded in its interpretation, that we must allow for a broad interpretation of what all it might mean. We are also told that we cannot rely upon this Word alone, but we must add to it. We must make it more desirable, more attractive. We must chase after this gimmick or that method in order to grow the church. Whole departments and schools are dedicated to this. Whole movements and denominations have sprung up from this. No wonder there is such a lack of understanding and wisdom. Perhaps we are the ones who have made the Bible unclear and confusing by adding our own thoughts and ideas and desires to it, all because we don't simply trust the Word and the Spirit who works through it. All too often, we forget what we have witnessed on that Pentecost day. The church grows because people hear the clear, unadulterated Word of God. It is not a matter of some secret process or knowledge. It is all about communication. God communicates to us clearly through His Word of Holy Scripture. It was true for Peter and the apostles, and it is true for us today as well. God speaks in all human languages, using words and sentences clearly and distinctly. He gives us the gift of the Holy Spirit so that we may understand and receive without a doubt His word over and over and over again for the rest of our lives. And then, by the power of His Spirit, we share that same word with others, clearly and directly, so that they too may know His law and His gospel, as we tell them about their sins and their need for a Savior, and then of that very Savior who came and bled and died for them, and then rose again so that they may have new life, and now sits at the right hand of God, ruling over all things, and will come again to make all things new. And as this message of Christ, as it is clearly communicated, the church is established, built up, and sustained. This message of Christ, this is what Pentecost teaches. And it is this that is the work of the Holy Spirit. Amen. And may the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, guard your hearts and your minds in Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.